think you worship leader. What is it? What does it feel like to be like God, to be godly? So when the title says, be God, in other words, be like God, be God. God is already there in you. So act like it. An all-loving presence. Because if God is not all-loving, none of us will exist. We've done so much crap to this world, to ourselves, through our thoughts and all of that. What is God like? If we sit down and reflect, we find out God is very slow to anger, quick to forgive, because that's why we're still here. I mean, we all know it personally. We have issues in our own personal relationship with that divinity, with that creator. But humans, it's like God versus humans. Humans were the opposite. Somebody has been good to us, our best friend and all of that. We've been our friends, we've been hanging out, enjoying each other. Then they do something, just one thing, and all bets are off. We forget all the laughter, all the kindness, and all the things they've done before. One thing. And when we actually reflect later on, like, that is when that God spirit allows us to take out the veil or whatever it is that makes us to react, we find out that it wasn't worth throwing out that friendship. Because humans, instead of being slow to anger, we're quick to anger. And then slow to forgive. That is if we even forgive. Some will say, I forgive, but I will never forget. Can you imagine if God says that? We can't even get through the karma. Oh, I forgive you, but I will never forget. Even the thought of, like, you will never forget, the heaviness of it alone, that it stamps that, it keeps that soul in that same place. Can you imagine if we're wearing our old clothes that no longer fit? We're 10 years old now, we're trying to wear toddler's clothing. Can you just picture that? We can't even move, we can't, you know, because that's what that meant. Oh, I forgive you, but I will not forget. Does that soul deserve that? Do you deserve that to even carry that? Because the moment you act like that, it's like a computer hard disk. You've used some megabytes because to keep that energy there. So it's no longer free for expansion and generosity. That's why they say, keep no malice. Let the grudge go away. Let it flow out of you and let it dissolve. I'm going to share this story. Two stories, you know. One we already know, the new one we will know today. Because in our action of not being like God, we forget the spiritual injunction or invitation to say, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. We've all heard that. Well, maybe some of us, we don't really love ourselves because we still carry the old excess luggage. Yeah. Because I try to love myself so that I don't beat myself to the dust of some mistakes I've made, because that's what, you know. So I guess if I'm not loving, then why should I, how can I love my neighbor? I can't give what I don't have. In the Christian scriptures, the book of Colossians, for those who don't know where Colossians is, in the New Testament. He's minding his own business. Chapter 3, verse 13. He says, be even-tempered. Even be content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And who is the master? We will say, oh, Jesus and all of that. No. The God Christ consciousness in you. Because that's the all-powerful that moves everything. Because it represents God's eternal thought. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And Lord Jesus Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, they've all reflected that, Mother Mary and all of that. Because they are acting according to the master plan, which is in each of them. And then he continued, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Because that's why God is so quick to forgive, because God is all love, all sweet. And most of all, we have sweet tooth. We put honey in our tea and sugar and all of that, you know. Which is a minimal way of reflecting love. Because love is always sweet. I don't mean counterfeit love now. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, for you, O Lord, are good. But if you ask him and they say, what goodness comes out of God? Look at the way I'm suffering. What goodness? They don't see the good in God. So, well, if they don't see good in the one that lives in there, that created, how can they see good in themselves? Then how can they see good in their neighbors? Because when we talk about neighbors, we always think humans. No, the trees, the herbs, the animals, the creatures, whatever it is, those are our neighbors, because without them, we can't live on this earth. The earth won't provide food. Imagine if all the oxygens are gone, where we would be. But do we treat them as we treat ourselves? No. Because if we don't see that good in ourselves, how can we see good in others? So Psalm 86, 5 says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Whether you call it sin, you call it mistakes, whatever it is you call it. God will send them away, completely letting them go forever and ever. And ready to forgive an abundant loving kindness and overflowing in mercy to all those who call upon you. It doesn't mean you need to pick up your phone and dial God 111. Like, hey, Lord, I'm calling upon. No, the Lord said, why are you on your phone? I'm already your phone. I'm there. All you have to do is just express it. You know? And you don't need to get on the computer and say, I'm using Telegram, you know, sending an email. What does that spirit, Christ consciousness, need an email for? All you have to do is you think it, the message comes back and forth. You have a dialogue with yourself, within yourself. The book of Ephesians, which is also New Testament, says, that is chapter 4, verses 31 to 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And we know what malice is, when you hold somebody, you know, and then you slander them. You don't even understand why they do certain things. We're good at projecting ourselves to others, especially when we want something from them. You don't even know what their situation is, if they'll be able to meet that demand. It might seem simple to you, but maybe something happened and they can't. If there's a conflict of interest, maybe they need to go to work and you want them to come and hang out with you because you want to celebrate your daughter graduating or your birthday or whatever, or somebody's getting married. And because they couldn't make it, because they need to, you know, be able to sustain themselves, isn't it? Because probably you will not give up your work for them. But because they do this, then all the goodness that you've had, bye-bye, or they didn't show up when, you know. And then you hold that malice. There's a saying when I was growing up, they say, Odumadubodi means you who you think you are doing somebody. It is yourself you are harming. If you think you are harming someone, it is yourself. Because when you don't let go of that anger, whatever upset you, well, guess what? Your hardware will quickly deteriorate because anger poisons everything. There's a song that on the record that I grew up with that I love very much. I think I actually played it yesterday. It says, "My friend, listen to me. You know, some things I like, you might not like it." He said, look at a grown-up. There may be a little bottle that their hands can fit in, but a little kid's hands will go in. And there may be some shelf they will be able to reach. The little kid can't reach to it. He said, so if for whatever reason you are angry at me, if for whatever reason I did something that I may not even be aware of, he said, don't tell anybody about that. Talk to me directly. Just ask me. Let us resolve it. Don't keep malice. Because when you tell others, right, they will add their own. They will add their own input. It's like you're telling a story. Oh, two people were going and this happened. And when you hear it from the third person, you say, oh, four people were going. Before you know, they've added their own. So then before you know, you can't resolve the conflict. Because then the person gives you their opinion and it's not God's opinion. Oh, she did not come to your event? What kind of a friend is that? If that was me, I wouldn't talk to them. That's it. Whereas if you have come to you say, you know, I knew I promised I wanted to come, but I didn't know. I had to go to work. You know my situation, you know. And if you put yourself, like, love your neighbor as I say, if you put yourself in their position, say, oh yeah, I know. You don't even need to go further. Because you got to take care of, you know. We do it another time. Maybe they even send a gift because they couldn't make it. But the pride comes in. You're supposed to be my best friend, you know. How can you do that to me? Did I ever do that? Of course, they forget what they've done. Others too, when they didn't show up. Ephesians verse 32 said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." See, when you look at the way they combine those two words, Christ God, the Christ consciousness, which represents God in you, forgave you. It's not holding you up. And if you're a Christian, since you can only come to God through Christ, then you say, oh, yeah, Jesus talked a lot about forgiving. And if you're a Buddha or a Buddhist or whatever it is, and the book of James, chapter 1, 19 to 20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters." I added the sisters. "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man or woman, I added that woman too, does not produce the righteousness of God. And you know, we do it all the time. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. But we turn it upside down. We don't listen. We talk over, even when God is trying to talk to us. We talk over God. We can't even let God put one sentence in. We say, well, Lord, you know I need this, you know I need that. Do you know what happened today? Let me tell you. God said, well, I think I got the picture. Oh, no, you don't know the details of this, you know. Let me tell you more. Otherwise, there will be no injunction to tell us we need to meditate. What is meditation? Meditation is about listening. But we love to talk. We just, you know. And we never know that it is even not the right way. We talk over each other. You don't let the other one finish the sentence before you jump in and all of that. Thank God for the native ways of doing things. Remember the circle? The talking stick. Just listen. Don't even say anything. Just listen. No matter how, you know, no, don't check fact. Just listen. By the time you truly listen, then you will find out, oh, the facts are right. You don't need to, you know, fact check anything. Do not hold grudges. Because God does not hold grudges. Slow to anger, quick to forgive. Then we'll be like God, an all-loving presence. Now, here's a story. Long ago, there was a king who had kept 10 wild dogs. So if we think we're the first to domesticate dogs, I guess we have something else coming. And if you ever run into wild dogs, they don't like humans. And they are very territorial. You think the domesticated ones are territorial? Wait till you run into wild dogs. I ran into some of them when I was in India, because they go by the ocean. And you don't want to get amongst their pack. You might be food, you know, for breakfast. Long ago, there was a king who had kept 10 wild dogs. And anyone that serves that king, no matter how long that person has worked for the king, just at one mistake, that person will be punished. And what does he do for their punishment? He will take that person and throw them in front of those wild dogs as punishment. Of course, what do you think the wild dogs will do? The dogs will attack and torture, and sometimes we even eat them alive. We've seen the contemporary ones when some of the canine dog handlers let go. We've seen some video and they attack the person there. And once, one of the servants gave a bad opinion, which the king did not like at all. And maybe the opinion wasn't bad, but the king wasn't even ready to hear it. Like, who the heck do you think you are? You forget who I am? And that king forgets that when his time comes, he will die and go. The king of kings doesn't say that. Can you imagine if God is saying that? Do you know who I am? I have a lot of friends. It's a joke. People get that. So the king didn't like that advice. So he ordered that that servant should be thrown in front of those wild dogs. But that servant, that person said, "Ah, your lordship, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Oh, you are the, you know, you are the butter of my bread, the, you know, you name it, the eyebrow of my eyes, and all of that." He says, "I served you for 10 years, but today I did a small I made a small mistake, and I understand this. But before you punish me and do whatever you normally do, can I make one last request?" I'm sure the king is curious to know. Look at this one. He doesn't want to make, okay, let's hear it. King asks, "What?" So I said, "Please give me 10 days. Because, you know, if the king throws into the wild dog, then that's the end of his life. Please give me 10 days. The king is curious to say, "Okay, you're still going to die anyway after 10 days." "Yeah, you have the permission for 10 days before we give you the punishment." Then right after that, that servant went to the guard who took care of the dogs, right? And asked him, "I would like to serve these dogs for the next 10 days. Please allow me." The guy was like, "Huh?" Was baffled. What do you mean? Say, "Please, okay." The guard agreed. Every day that servant dedicated all his day, time and all, to feed, to clean, to wash all those wild dogs. And we all know how dogs are when you take care of them. They are not foolish. So he will comfort them and took utmost care for them in those 10 days. When then the 10 days was up, the king ordered the servant to be thrown in front of the dogs for his punishment. When the dogs were released, everyone was surprised to see that those voracious wild dogs were not attacking him, but are licking him, playing with him. Because probably then, "Oh, some food are coming. Yeah, he's going to clean our wounds. He's going to, you know, play with us, throw frisbee and all of that." At this, the servant replied, "I served these dogs for only 10 days, and they didn't forget my service. However, Lord King, I served you for 10 years, and yet at my first mistake, you forgot everything and ordered to throw me in front of the wild dogs to be eaten alive." The king paused. He realized his mistake and ordered the servant to be released. And from that day onwards, the king stopped giving such punishment to his servants. That's why they say, if you are quick-tempered, before you release your anger, take a deep breath, reflect. By the time you reflect, you find out. Just like if we're not able to show up for one occasion and then we're condemned. If our friends reflect on it, they will find that it's not worth throwing these years of friendship away. So now you see how humans behave. Now let's see how God behaves. The story all of you know. The story of the great bandit. Oh, he is known, he's ferocious. He goes everywhere and plunders everything, kills anything, you know. And they were going to attack this village and they need to cross this water. And of course they have a little bridge like cinder block so that they can cross. Because he was so bad to the bone. It reminds me of bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for? He was. That's how bad he was. Even worse than the most vicious drug dealers. So as he was crossing, of course, that's his MO. But the thought came, okay, we'll be coming back to this, and we need that little break, because otherwise he was going to kick everything into the water, and that means they will have to get inside the river. So they went plundering, and on their way, before they finished that, a holy man crossed the same thing. And because the way God set it up, you get a demerit or you get a merit, no matter how small. So the bandit died. And of course, what do they say? They are casual record. So they are said, this one is so bad to the bone. He had no merit. So he's going to, to the deepest hell of hell. And the good Lord said, it cannot be like that. There must be something he has done. How can a soul like created with love be so bad that there's not even one iota, one pin drop of some goodness? He said, go back and look into your records. He said, well, Lord, yeah, there was this time he went to, rampage the village. He left the thing and the saint crossed that. And the angel said, well, he didn't actually did it out of the kindness of his heart. The Lord said, well, at least my son, the only one, crossed that. So he reduced it. Okay, that's a merit, even if it's a little merit. So then you must give him something for that. And they asked the bandit, what do you want? He said, give me the biggest horn you have. And they're like, okay, what is he up to now? Put it on, and he went on the same rampage. From the astral world all the way to the causal world. And he's just like, what the hell? But then he made it to the periphery, to the edge of the celestial way. Before Archangel Michael, they summoned them and they arrested, they wouldn't let him, And the generosity and that forgiveness of love from God said, well, if he made it this far, you can't send him back to hell. They were all stunned because there's a protocol. There's no way. He's not even supposed to go past the astral world. How much more the causal world? Now is that no, Lord. And when the Lord speaks, that's it. Can you imagine that? The Lord is even celebrating that one iota of goodness. We sort of wipe away all that disastrous way he has done things. God will celebrate your goodness, no matter how small, and overlook all your wickedness. Because that's what we call love. That's what we call godly. Now, this is my own addition to that story. Because I was feeling like, Lord, how could that be? He tells you. And as I was meditating, and I'm like, well, yeah, he's not going to hell, but now they make him a teacher to supervise all those people who are just as wicked as him. Because, if you're a cook, you know how to cook. If you're an armed robber, you know the ways the armed robbers will work. So he became an effective teacher. So it's not like his karma was totally wiped. Yeah, God forgave him so that he doesn't have to. But now he's in service. Remember Saul and Paul? Well, to me, that's what it was. And so for eternity now, so all these super wicked Hitler and all of them, now he knows how they work because he had their mentality. He lived it, even all the way to the astral world. He didn't just leave it here. He took it all the way. So now he paid back. But look at how loving kindness of God, that love, total love. Remember the story of the armed robber on the cross? And Jesus said, you, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's that Christ God, forgiving. Even just because what? That robber said something like that, oh, you are not sinful. We are paying for, you know, you are truly the Christ God. And God does that. So the moment you as a soul recognize that you are a child of God, there is no separation between you and God. All your sins are forgiven. All you have to do is wake up. Wake up. And once you wake up, that's it. Nobody's going to worry about, oh, you did this, you did that. God welcomes you and kiss you and puts you on the throne with the 24 elders. Remember the vagabond child who took all his inheritance, and then what did the father did? Huh? That is God. So let us be God. That's what is we're being asked. Be God, the all-loving presence. May our soul recognize that, and may we live as God in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.